Hi, everybody. Welcome to church. My name is Chris. I'm really glad you're here. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9. 5 or 6 weeks after the birth of our kids, every one of them, we would invite a photographer into our home, and she'd come and bring like a basket and a nice white blanket, and our babies would be in their diaper, and then there'd be these pictures, and Chris and I would hold our babies, and it was so cute, and it was so cool to look back even now on those pictures. And then we would wait in anticipation for these pictures to come. And then we'd choose a best one, and we would put it on a card, and the name of our child, and the date that they were born, and the weight that they came in at. And then we would broadcast that out to everybody 5 or 6 weeks after their birth. In Isaiah chapter 9, there's a birth announcement, but it doesn't happen 5 or 6 weeks after. It actually happens 700 years before. And in Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah, if you're new to this whole thing, Isaiah was a prophet, which means God raised Isaiah up to speak to his people. This was 700 years before Jesus. And Isaiah brings a tough message in the first few chapters of political strife that's going to happen, that there's going to be exile, that their disregard for God actually has consequences. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, he brings some good news finally. So in verse 1 of Isaiah 9, it says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in darkness." That the people who were going through this tough time, there is something happening, that God has a plan. You just have to wait to see it to fruition. And so that's Isaiah chapter 9. And so the rest of this chapter is he starts to explain, how do you go from gloom to good? How do you go from gloom to good? And maybe you're in that season right now as we're living in gloomy days. How do you go from gloom to good? He says in verse 6 how this is going to happen. It says in verse 6 of Isaiah 9, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." That the good news isn't a new piece of information. It's actually in a birth. This is a birth announcement of Jesus. "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given." If you're new to church, the incarnation, it's a big word. It literally means that God became flesh. And this is the birth of Jesus. That at the beginning, 6 AD, we think, Jesus took on flesh. That God became human. And it's actually a crazy story if you think about it. If you're a church person, it's kind of like, yeah, we understand. But have you actually paused to think about what that means? That Christianity says that God broke into human history at a certain point in time. This says something about God, and it says something about us. What does it say about God? See, the mind-bending truth of Advent, of this season, is that God, the author of the story, wrote himself as a character in the story. That he broke into human history with all of the darkness of the Christmas story, that there was a beacon of light, that Jesus came. This speaks of who God is, that this is a divine pursuit out of love and for love. Jesus came to this broken, distraught world to bring peace. It says something about who God is. Why? Why did he do this? Because of love. That peace has come, not in a piece of information, but rather in a person. One of the cool stories coming from this whole COVID pandemic came from Jacksonville, Florida. And there was a wife, her name was Mary, and she would care for her husband who was in long-term care because of Alzheimer's. And before COVID, she was there every night, loving, caring, putting him to bed. And then March 11th, she was unable to go and visit him any longer. And the disconnection brought anguish to her. So a part-time dishwasher position at this long-term care facility opened up. So what did Mary do? She applied for this job. Her being later on in her own life applied to be a part-time dishwasher in this long-term care facility. Why? Because she just wanted to be in proximity with the one that she loved. She just wanted to be close, and any means for that to be necessary, she would do. So she applied for the job, and she got it. Why? Because she just love demands proximity to her husband. And servanthood was a part of her story, and so it was with Jesus, that Jesus came. God came in the person of Jesus. Why? To be in proximity to the one, that this is a divine pursuit. That is what, for unto us a child is born. This speaks of love. That's God. It also says something about us. The incarnation, God becoming flesh, says something about us. For unto us a child is born. So Christianity has the beautiful news that God loves you and he has done something to be in proximity, to have relationship with you. And there's also tough news of Christianity, because the incarnation says simply this: you need help. You need help. I need help. That in the brokenness, in the gloom, I don't have the resources in and of myself to fix something or even to fix me. That this is a painful, painful story. There are champions of human progress, of human ingenuity, of what we can do if we can band together. And in some ways, I think that's right, and I think that's good. We can do remarkably good things if we put our minds to it. You think about this vaccine that they have fast-forwarded at a remarkable rate. It's a scientific miracle, some people have called this, of the efficacy and the speed at which they've done. So I think you can champion that. But those people who champion human progress also have to strongly grapple with the brokenness of 2020 as well. 2020 was COVID, but it's also the year where racism also invaded our screens and our world again, with the death of George Floyd in the United States, and the protests that followed. There was this outcry against this injustice because of racism. And rightly so. Rightly so. All of the racial tension in the United States. And for us in Canada, it's easy to kind of say, well, you know, that's a United States problem. Here's the reality, that a report came out just this week in our own province of systemic stereotyping and discrimination against Indigenous people in our own healthcare system. This is not a problem that just exists in the United States. This is not a problem that just exists in Canada. This is a problem that exists in the human heart. In the human heart. Instead of loving our neighbor as ourselves, we actually judge them, stereotype them, discriminate against them, because there's something wrong in the human heart that needs to be fixed. So if you're an NFL fan, oftentimes what you'll see in the end of the end zone, this moniker, this statement of end racism, end racism. I think every human would say, yes, absolutely, I want to end racism. The question is, how? How do you end racism? There'd be different answers to that question. Maybe one of the answers that you would hear is awareness. If we bring awareness and if we bring information, then people will change. The reality is that we haven't gotten a lot better since the 60s on this issue. So we are the most aware people. We have the most information possible. We have a lot of information, but zero transformation. Why? Because the problem doesn't exist just outside in systemic things. It actually exists in the human heart. And the lie that you and I can believe when it comes to just this issue, this one issue, is that we can fix it ourselves. And the incarnation, the Christmas story, says actually we need help. You need help. And I need help. If you think about it this way, you know this intuitively. If you're driving on the road and you see a car that's broken down, their hazards are on, because obviously there's a mechanical issue. Something is wrong with the car. You don't drive by that car thinking, oh, if we just allow that car some time, if that car can just, you know, do something in and of itself, maybe it'll fix itself. No. You say they are out to go get somebody to help. It needs outside help. And so it is with humanity, that the incarnation of Jesus says we can't fix ourselves. whether it's racism, whether it's anxiety or worry, whether it's hatred, that you and I can't fix ourselves. For unto us a child is born. It says something of a divine pursuit, the nature and character of God in Jesus. But it also says to you and I that we need help. So how do you go from gloom to good? It's in the birth of Jesus. What's his ministry going to be like? In the end of verse 6, it says, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." These four things: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So we're in Advent right now. Advent is this journey towards Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And last week we looked at this idea of hope. This week the candle is a candle of peace. And as Christians, we look ahead to Jesus' second coming. But in this season, we also reflect. We reflect. How do you wait right now? You reflect on his first coming and his life and his ministry. And as we think of the ministry of Jesus, we think of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. It speaks of royalty. It speaks of government. It speaks of power, and it speaks of influence. And this is the peace that you and I long for, but we actually experience chaos. We all long for peace, but we actually experience chaos. It is the cry of the human heart, your heart, my heart, everyone's heart, to have peace. Peace with ourselves. Peace with the people in our lives. Peace with God, too. So it's the cry of the human heart. We want it, but we experience chaos. In our English, we think of peace as the absence of something. It's a negative definition that peace is the absence of war, which is true. But if you get into the original language of Isaiah chapter 9, it's written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word isn't just something that peace isn't. It actually brings more to the table in a positive sense. And the Hebrew word for peace is the word shalom. Shalom. If you go to Israel today, people greet each other by saying, "Shalom, shalom." It's a common word to greet one another. And the word in Hebrew, shalom, doesn't just mean an absence of war. What it means is wholeness, completeness, safety, tranquility, and harmony. A sense of being whole and complete. It's not just an absence of war. It's more than that. It's beautiful. I love what one scholar says. He defines peace by the way things ought to be. What a beautiful definition. It's the way things ought to be. You and I long for it. The way things ought to be, yet we don't experience it. The way things ought to be. It's that feeling that you get when you're at Sun Peaks after a fresh dump of snow, and you're the first one on your favorite run, and nobody has skied the fresh powder. It's the way things ought to be. It's that moment that you have with your spouse when you're grinding through an issue that's been sandpaper and it's been hard, and then you have a moment of breakthrough and connection and understanding, and you share that moment of intimacy. It's the way that things ought to be. It's that moment that you have with your friend over coffee, when the conversation goes longer than what you expected, but you leave there feeling loved and you feel known. It's the way things ought to be. There's another way to understand peace, and one pastor uses this illustration. They say that peace, the lack of peace, is a bunch of threads on a table. They're all kind of tangled together. There's no sense of order to it. Maybe different fabrics here and there, and there's no completion to it. They say what peace is somebody coming in and weaving those fabrics, weaving those threads together in such a beautiful way that at the end there's a blanket or a quilt. It's complete, it's whole, it's safe, and it is warm. That is peace. This is the ministry of Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. So, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking about this peace to a bunch of afraid, scared disciples. And he says this in John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." How do you go from gloom to good? You go from gloom to good by molding your life around Jesus, by following him. his life, his teaching, his example, his cross, by committing, surrendering your life to Jesus, because he is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that can bring the different fabrics of your life and your marriage and your relationships and your finances and your sexuality and your parenting and your stress and your worry. All of these things, he can bring them and weave them together to bring wholeness and completeness, the way things ought to be. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. My shalom he distributes to us. This is what's available in Advent, to rethink of where you and I get our peace. Because we all want it, but we experience chaos. We all want it, but we experience chaos. We experience this chaos with God, a lack of peace with our relationship with God. It's disjointed, it's fractured, it's out of order. And the Bible is clear. If we do not mold our lives to Jesus, if we don't know Jesus, there is a fracture and a lack of peace with our relationship with God. To be known by God and to know him is the reason why you were created. We want that peace, and Jesus is the one, by dying on the cross, that gives it to us. We want this peace with ourselves in our own world. We long for it the way things ought to be, and yet we experience mental health issues, anxiety, and worry. We have negative scripts in our lives that we believe that we are worthless, that the world is chaotic, that I'm not worthy of someone's love, that this is the lack of peace that we feel, the lack of peace in our own world of an incongruent life, that people think you're living this life, but you're actually living this life. You're a hypocrite, and you're afraid of being found out, and it takes a toll because you don't have a peace in your soul of who you are. And then with the relationships in our lives, we want that peace the way things ought to be, but it is broken. And if you're honest, when we think of these COVID restrictions and that people can't come to your house this Christmas, you are actually so joyful because you don't have to deal with all the brokenness of your family or the drama or the elephant that's in the room when somebody has this political position, that one has that one, or the family secrets that nobody wants to talk about. This is the peace that we want, but we actually experience chaos. How do you go from gloom to good? It's in the birth of Jesus. He is a Prince of Peace that can bring and restore the way things ought to be in your life. In your life. So back to Isaiah chapter 9. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen in verse 7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. This is eternal peace. This is not just temporary peace, but actually eternal peace. Because the reality is that you and I, with some ingenuity, with some hard work, with time and money, we can create peace, wholeness, completion, safety. We can actually do that. But my thought is that it's actually temporary. It doesn't last. It doesn't give us in the long term what we actually want. You can create it, but it doesn't last. So when you think about your work, you get wholeness and completion from your work. And so you use work, you leverage your work to bring that peace, that the next deal will give me what I'm looking for, that sense of completion and wholeness in my life, the way things ought to be. And so you overwork. You overwork. And the people, the closest people in your lives, are complaining. We don't see you anymore. I wish you'd be more present with us. And so it gives you that sense, but it actually doesn't last, and it can't last. For some of us, we find our peace through escape. It's drinking with the buddies on Friday night. It's getting a pack of beer and going out and just letting loose through escape, through a substance. It's a temporary thing. It does give you a sense of escape and maybe a sense of peace. Maybe it allows you to forget about the problems for a little bit, but it actually doesn't last. For some of us, we get our peace with control, that we love things to go exactly how we want. We love our spreadsheets. and things and monies and dollars and cents and times and all that sort of stuff just click into place and the kids behave as they should. But man, if anything has taught us this year is that we don't have control at all. You know, it actually doesn't deliver. You can't continue. You can't keep it up. For us, especially at Christmas, it's our stuff. Our stuff can give us a sense of peace and wholeness and completion. Amazon Prime, that UPS truck or that FedEx truck is outside of your place every day because you're just Amazon Priming and you don't even know what's coming. You have lost count of how many things you have bought because, I wonder what this is. You ordered it and you don't even know what you're getting anymore. It's a new TV on Black Friday and a new phone on Cyber Monday. This is the myth of consumerism, that it gives you peace, that all you are is an endless cycle of desire and consumption and desire and consumption. But it doesn't last. For those of us who have experienced peace through experience, travel, it's putting your feet up with white sand and a hot sun, and you just sit on your rear end for a week in the sun, and that's how you get your peace. But here's the reality is that ends, and you actually have to come back to your chaotic, too busy life. It doesn't work. For others of us, we get our peace through people. It's a relationship. And there's that famous scene in Jerry Maguire, 1996, Tom Cruise, the hunk Tom Cruise is speaking. It's this romantic comedy, and he's kind of tearing up. And he says to his partner, "You complete me." And then she says, it's so funny, she says, "You had me at hello." It's just this beautiful romantic comedy moment. And that's the myth that we can believe, is that somebody else can bring us the peace. You complete me. What is that? It's peace. This is temporary peace. It doesn't last. Is there anything wrong with a great relationship? Is there anything wrong with a good hard day at work? Is there anything wrong with a glass of wine? Is there anything wrong? Absolutely not. But when we leverage it, when we hope that it can deliver to bring us the wholeness and completion, the peace that you and I want and crave, it cannot. And then Jesus, and this season, he says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. See, this is the trajectory that every business leader wants, up and to the right. Forever. Forever. That the peace that Jesus can bring not only lasts forever, but he has an endless resource of it. That he can restore and bring the peace in your life that you desperately want. But here's the thing. It's not on your terms. It's not on your terms. He can bring that peace. He wants to bring that peace. But it is not on your terms. It's not on your terms. So Isaiah chapter 9, he speaks of the Prince of Peace. And the rest of this book, he kind of interacts with this Savior, with this Messiah, with Jesus. And the Prince of Peace in Isaiah chapter 9, we're introduced to this Prince of Peace, but he is no longer the Prince of Peace. He is the suffering servant. In Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." Listen, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. He can bring this peace. He wants to bring this peace. He has died to bring this peace so that he can restore the shalom through the completion and wholeness in your life that you so desperately want with God, with yourself, and with others in your life. But listen, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. It demanded a sacrifice to fix the brokenness of your heart. Where racism comes, where gossip comes, where envy comes, where strife comes, that the human heart is in need of fixing. And the punishment on him, the Prince of Peace, becomes a suffering servant. That is the mode and the method in which you and I can experience peace. Does this Prince of Peace flex his muscles with military might? Does he come with power? No, he comes with a death. He comes with a death. That the Prince of Peace is also the suffering servant. So we say, the cry is, we want world peace. You know, any beauty contestant, they answer, "Hey, what do you want for the world?" They say, "We want peace. We want world peace." Of course we all want it, but it is not on our terms. What it demands to get the peace is actually through commitment and surrender and following this baby, for unto us a child is born, and he is the Prince of Peace. That the Christmas season allows us to take stock of and investigate the areas of our lives that we are hoping give us the peace, whether it's through a person or work, whatever it is. And now is our opportunity in a pandemic to experience that afresh, that we have peace with God because of what Jesus has done in his birth, in his life, in his death, and in his victorious resurrection, that we have peace with ourselves, that Jesus counteracts the negative scripts and the incongruencies in our life by bringing grace and truth, that there is peace that we can have with others as we humble ourselves, as we serve one another, that Jesus transforms your life. As Jesus has transformed Tom's life, the story that you heard before this, that even in the midst of medical distress, even in the midst of a life-altering moment, that Tom was able to experience peace. And if he can experience that in this season, at this moment, so can you. There's a divine pursuit of your life right now. And we remember and reflect because of Advent. And may you investigate, commit, and surrender to Jesus so that you would experience the peace you want. Let me pray. Lord, we just pause and want to receive the peace that you give us. For some of us, we need to change our attitudes, behaviors, and commitments to other things in our life that we believe will make sense of our existence, will bring us the way things ought to be. And Jesus, we reflect on the fact that you lost your peace on the cross so that we could have peace with you. That it started with the birth, but it ended with death on a cross, and then life as well through the resurrection. So we commit ourselves, Jesus, in the middle of a pandemic. We need that peace. So bring it, Jesus, in your grace, in this moment. In your name I pray. Amen. So glad that you're here. We have a prayer team. Maybe you are experiencing chaos in your life. We have a prayer team that would love to journey with you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for trusting us. We love you, even in this dislocated time. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.